I say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give me ears to hear what God has to say. Gonna walk with power, not let the loss get left. Amen, 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 amen. All right, we got good timing, all right? Today we're going to preach about that is my spot, amen? Give no place to the devil. Give no place. I think Pastor Donnie had to fix it and said, give not a place to the devil, okay? Because on my original says, give not place to the devil. Sometimes I think in Cajun. I understand it. Give no place to the devil. As growing up, have you ever been in a room full of cousins and all those people, and you had a chair that you liked in the living room, and you wanted to go get you a snack? What did you say about that chair? And you said, what else? This chair is saved. Anybody ever save a seat? It's amazing. We probably saved more seats than we did people. They're like, my chair is saved. Didn't have. We really wanted to get serious. It was saved in infinity. Remember that? Can nobody take that seat? You can go out of town. Nobody's supposed to sit in that seat. You come back, that seat's still there, right? That's my spot, right? Goldilocks had issues. There's someone sleeping in my bed, and they still in it. And let me tell you something. If you don't know your spot, the enemy will take it and use it against you. He will take it against you. If you don't know that you're supposed to keep your mind on Christ, he will take your mind and use your mind against you. He will straight up take it. If you don't take and establish the things you need to establish, same thing I said about the verse where the demons had been cast out of that person, and those demons went through dry places seeking a place to rest and found none. They came back to the place they were cast out of, found it swept, garnished, but not filled. You have to fill yourself with blessings. CJ, there's snacks up here and color and stuff. Come get it. Come get it. Even if it's just for you. And take some to your mom because you can't have her walking up here. She's got you here. So you better be nice to her. You better be nice. I know where your car is. Take it out of the bag, man. Okay. Get you a car game. Anyway, spiritually, this thing was cast out, but it looked for places to go. And let me tell you something. As believers, we are delivered and freed from being demon-possessed. I want to say that to you up front. But we're not delivered from being demon-oppressed. And if we allow it to come upon us, it'll smash you down. Right? And one of the most condemning things to do is be in church and still be smashed down. Right? Because sometimes we think it's not supposed to happen. Most times people think that when a bad thing happens, they think God has abandoned them. And that's not the case. There are times where things are going to happen. In fact, John 16:33 says, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so sometimes we think it's fun world or fun park, which fun parks and theme parks are not fun to me at all, because all you do is stand in line and ride for 30 seconds and then you're back in line again. I don't get it. Not to mention, I bought a bunch of money to stand here behind other sweaty people. To go like, woo, wasn't Fiesta Texas fun? Every time people say that, I go, no, it wasn't. All you do is sit out there in the heat, got darker. And if that was your goal, then good. I like lazy rivers. That's my spot. Right? Because I get in that, and while everybody's sitting around standing in line, talking about, what about the one ride I got to ride in 6 hours? Right? And God is saying that you can fellowship with him all the time. Quit standing in line for other people and just go to the front with God. I said, that's a dangerous place when I'm standing in line waiting to be appreciated, waiting to be validated. And God says, this is you mine. We're one. I'm your God. You'll be my people. I don't have to wait for validation from people to know that I'm wanted by God. He accepts me. And so again, when we get into these places, we got to make sure that we know how to be thankful. We got to know how to be thankful. And that means that every day you've got something to be thankful for, even while you're waiting on the thing that you've been asking for. It's got to be a habit of being thankful. It's got to be a way of loving God either way, because the minute that what you get, the minute the thing that you have that you're no longer thankful for, why give you more that eventually it's going to get old to you? Ministry does not get old. This does not get old to me. People get old to me. And I don't mean in age. It gets old when you are dealing with folks who won't be honest. That gets old. Or won't be committed. That gets old. And so you have to step back and go like, okay, God, where is my spot on this? This is my spot. Listen to this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4. It says that now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, first of all, Eve misquoted the Bible. God never said anything about touching. He said, don't eat from it. But when you're conversating with the devil trying to work out a deal, which you shouldn't be doing anyway, you're not called to have a conversation with sin. You're called to command it. And what's up with the devil anyway? What was his punishment to crawl on his belly? Which means he was a different. He was made different originally. He wasn't made that way to crawl on his belly. That was part of the curse for being open to the enemy getting inside of him. Man, do you imagine if snakes were friendly? At one point, I mean, how's it you sitting there having a conversation with a serpent? If it's not, but when it ain't the fact of what's the thing on the outside, but what is the serpent talking about? See, that serpent could have been dressed as one of the most beautiful things in the thing, but in the garden. But if it's speaking evil, stop having that conversation. I just want to see where it's going. Youth group, we used to tell people, don't be doing no missionary dating. I'm going to get them to the Lord. We were hardcore, the youth group. Y'all got old pastor now. Youth group, I had issues. I came after this. The Bible says resist the devil and he would flee. Right? Boundaries are vital to a strong spiritual walk with God. And we are sure of one thing. The enemy is going to do his best to push your boundaries. Right? I have a statement. Not all the animals at the zoo, you can't feed all of them. Or some of them you can't feed. Quit having those conversations. Quit trying to feed that particular animal. Right? You just can't feed them all. Just get all the animals. And when some people come up to me and have said some things that they're looking for a fight, I can't feed you. You need a full-time worker that brings you your meal on a stick. Right? And then if I don't stop myself, you can see where then I'm starting to be serpentized. Right? Because my tongue can get silver. Some people have silver, I have silver. Because I want that rusty cut when I say what I got to say to you. But he's saying that, don't always have that conversation. Sometimes we've been sitting around talking to people, and then we end up talking ourselves into something we never supposed to have a conversation with. Right? I ain't supposed to be having this conversation with you. What are we negotiating? Then there's no negotiation. And so what the enemy tries to do is get you to negotiate your focus so that you can say, just this one time. And let me tell you, if you let him have an inch, he'll take a mile. Right? What did Jesse Duplantis say? Sin take you further than you want to go, keep you long, you don't want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pay. What in hell do I want? Nothing. No, I don't even want this heap. I don't want, but you start opening up your boundaries, right? You start opening up your boundaries, and now you don't know where the line is anymore. And now it's God's fault. It's never God's fault. He never does that. That's not how it works. And there are times that you can get so caught up in the things. It was before we were had these, before we brought these kids home. Debatable to leave them at the hospital. Knew we were going to get attached to them if we brought them home. I had borderline idolatry to my Mickey Mouse sweatshirts. They were not to be touched, including in Miracle. Little beautiful Miracle. 2 years old. 2 year old birthday. And Pastor Rita have these big birthday parties for these kids who didn't even know it was Saturday. How much this cost? Then that rat was up there dancing. Shit, all I saw was just money going out. Stuffed rat. And he should have had the theme music. Come on down. He should have had the theme music. Miracle come running up to me. She had cake on her hands. I did not see it. I had this white embroidered Mickey Mouse shirt that had been brought to me from Disneyland. And she hugged me. And I thought, oh. And I went, oh. And at that point, it was, who you going to love? Who you going to love? Who you going to love? And it's sad, but there are some parents who love things more than their kids. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Your house so clean, your kids can't live in it. Nothing wrong with a clean house. But you're going to miss them socks one day. We ain't got there yet. Now, let me, it's a hot, hang on now. We ain't got there yet. I don't mean to kick it. But what my deal is that don't let your boundaries get pushed so far that you don't know where you're supposed to be, your circle of prayer is supposed to be. And if you don't know where your circle of prayer is, you're not going to know where your circle of trust is. And if you don't know where your circle of trust is, you're not going to have any faith, because the boundaries without borders is too far. Like, how do I stop myself? Why don't I know how to stop what's going on? So y'all do me a favor, okay? When I tell you to, when I say start, you're going to count to 20, okay? You're going to count to 20, okay? Is there anybody here that can't get there? Y'all got me? It's supposed to be like... And so just take your shoes off right now. That way you can. Okay, y'all ready? And then I'll ask you to do something, okay? All right, ready? Start. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Okay. Did everybody say Jesus? Okay, what number were you on when you said Jesus? 9. Like that. 20. You didn't ever say Jesus. So you disqualified. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I said, say Jesus. Like, just competitive. Do what you said the first time. She's counting fast. Who even counts like that anyway? How's it immediate a competition? Count 20. I'm sitting on the front row. You're on the front row. Count like that. Right? Some of you got 9. Some of you got a bunch of different numbers. Now, what happened when you said Jesus? You have to what? Stop counting. Right? In other words, your mind had to stop and hear what your mouth is saying. And whatever's running around in your mouth, in your mind, if you use your mouth to confess Jesus, you can stop that. Huh? Right? That you can stop that. And a lot of times what we do is we let our minds go wild. And I just tried to do an example with what did you do about 6 minutes? You know, like, I got 20 for everybody else. I said Jesus after. If you would interrupt your mind with the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You got to interrupt your thoughts. You got to interrupt your fears. That's my spot. Faith is supposed to be there. Joy is supposed to be on my face, not my problems. And so not my fears, not my doubt, not my unbelief. That's my spot to be made up for God's glory.
That is my spot. And so you have to get to that place, because if not, you're going to count yourself out if you don't interrupt it with Jesus. Right? Right? Paul said it this way. I count not myself to have apprehended. See, I don't think this is not even biblical. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Right? We talked about pressing. Pressing. Anybody, any old school folks in here, men, even women probably did it. You starch your jeans. Starch jeans. Stay flow starch where they could stand up. Anybody? That's the only way we learn how to iron, baby. The jeans be brown. You could wash the jeans. The starch line would still be in it. Right? A crease been him. And we need to live for Jesus so long, no matter what try to wash us out, that crease will still be here, right? There needs to be a stand, right? That crease going to be in there like, yeah. And I hear people today, like, you remember people used to iron their jeans? Like, man, you get caught without your jeans ironed? You officially kicked out the neighborhood. The neighborhood. But you need to put a corner in for what you want to believe and walk with God with. So when thoughts of questioning God are entertained, the door for entertaining the aspects of disobeying God will be open. So if I'm ready to question God, I got to wonder, do I love what I'm questioning God? Some things get removed from our life because we fall in love with them more than God. Because if we can't get those things right, the first person we blame is God. That means that thing's an idol. Okay, this ain't on the video. God gives us his word to protect our expectations and believe him to help us overcome our limitations. So the word is to protect your expectations. If you're not having a dream, if your dreams don't scare you, you're not dreaming. You're taking a nap. You snoozing. You just, you know, power naps is what they call them. And you're not really dreaming. Your dreams should be scaring you because you can't do it without God. They need to be that big. I want something I can accomplish. And if y'all don't believe me that people do this, think about, let's go back to that wonderful word. People only do New Year's resolutions, the ones that they think they can do well. They quit picking the hard ones because they quit. And let me tell you, God has called you to dream big. And dream big. That's your spot to be dream. And you got to dream big for your kids, because if you dream little, they're going to dream little. And if you stay small, they're going to stay small. So we have to look at it. And I was even thinking about this, that even just because I do this in weddings and just a new thing. Think about this, right? What Adam, when he saw Eve, he was like, whoa, man. And he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, right? The bone of my bone part, that part. That part, bone of my bone. We're now one bone. Now, think about it. Now, let's take it to Christ, because Jesus is supposed to be the center. Jesus was on the cross, and they pierced his side, and the scripture said it was fulfilled that no bone in his body could be broken. Which means if you're trying to break me as my spouse, you're trying to break Jesus from me. My marriage is because bone of my bone is based on the bones that could not be broken, even in its deadest state. We have to stay together, right? We have to stick together, right? And that means God brings healing. If one of us break the bone of that, we're acting like a centurion, someone that's away. We're acting like an atheist. Bone of my bone. I was sitting there, I was like, God, that ain't in there. I had to give it to you on Saturday after you'd already done the message, because you'd have threw it. Your notes have been a mile long. Right? So my spouse that stands next to me, I've no right to put her down and break her, because now what I'm doing is not fulfilling the scripture that God says no bone on his body shall be broken. Now I'm the temple of God. I'm not Jesus. But when he says unity and you come together as a family, that's your spot. You're not breaking them. You're breaking you. You're breaking your own body. So we look at these parts, and the serpent twisted serpent twisted from God's he twisted the word from God's protection to God just don't want you to eat. Have you ever heard that? People say, God just don't want you to have fun. I don't want to go to church because I don't want to have fun. You mean we don't want you drunk out of your mind? You mean we don't want you doing drugs? We don't want you in a disaster where you're going to hurt yourself? We don't want you going to hell? Yeah, we don't want you having that kind of fun. You're right. In fact, we're called to preach you not to have that kind of fun. That ain't the kind of fun we want you to have. We want you to have the fun where you know that you wake up in your right mind and that you got peace, that when everybody else is gone, you know that God is standing with you, that you have a sound mind, you have a right spirit, and your heart is good. So I don't have to go out in the version of what is called fun. And it's not, that's not what God was saying. He gave all other trees in the garden. Their boundaries was every other tree but one. And that was hard. Jesus tell us that with our finances. He says, tithe, get 10%. That's all he asked for in the garden. That's all he asked for. And the boundaries of God is bigger than when we get caught up in the things of the world. The world is constricting. It is serpent-like, where we become constricted. And it is not spiritual to try and outsmart the devil when God has given us the victory to overcome anything he throws at us. We need to be careful that, and same here, right? I need to be careful I don't get up here trying to be clever and forget to be spiritual. Right? Now, I believe we're supposed to speak in a way that's plain and clear and concise. That and even if we use examples, that I'm not going against that. And first, I'm not going to be able to change the way I preach anyway. But I want to make sure that I'm saying what the Bible says. You hear me? Is that that's what's the part, because that's my spot. I'm supposed to have you leave here with an understanding of God more than anything else. Even though you count the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, y'all know I'm out here counting because I'm spiritual. That ain't what we did that for. It was about breaking up what you're counting on to go to the God that you trust in. I've been counting on the wrong stuff. I've been counting on the wrong things. And then be open to what God wants to do for you. Because again, when you do open yourself up to the boundaries of the world, and he pushed the boundaries, the first thing he fed them was shame, was the first thing that they did, right? I gotta keep running. It's not spiritual to try to outsmart him. Working out deals with sin leaves out the greatest deal God gave us, freedom, and that's his grace and mercy. Eve made the mistake of carrying on a discussion with the serpent when God called us to command the serpent to be gone. And let me tell you, if it gets up in your children, well, if you be nice, I'll get you some sweets, some sorbet. And what we're doing is we're negotiating with their bad behavior. And God didn't say negotiate with it. And I'm not telling you not to bless your kids. I'd be a liar if I told you to do it when I do it. In fact, I bless them, and I don't know it's happening. I found out I done gave them. Thank you, Dad. When you start misquoting scripture to fit your behavior, you are going to end up in shame and deception. She misquoted it. And then the devil proved her wrong because she was sitting there touching the tree. Not only was she touching it, she bit the, y'all remember this, right? When I said she bit it, she ate it, she swallowed it, she digested it, and nothing happened. Nothing happened to you. But the minute Adam bit it, because then it was out of order, she was doing something without the head. See, like, if we're married, right, we can't be doing our own thing. Now, I mean, she got her friends, I got mine, I got Sardis, she's got the rest of the week. But, you know, it ain't us about division, right? And it's not a marriage thing, but that seems to be what's coming. If you are misquoting scripture to try and fit
your disobedience, you will end up in shame. Because that's the devil's goal, is to make you feel shame. Okay? Judges 21, verse 25 says this: in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. All you got to do is go to some videos on YouTube or anywhere else, and you can see people doing what they think is right in their own eyes. We're watching people go into stores and just grab clothes and steal, like, because they believe it's right. And even if you look at comments, people say, it's just stuff. Well, let them steal your stuff. Right? Like, they doing what's right in their own eyes. We are living this verse right today. And they'll stand and say, this is what I see. What I said, that's not the way I see it. Like, it was amazing. We had, growing up, we had some people that were proclaimed crazy. But it's amazing. They knew who not to be crazy with. Like, you pretending. You ain't crazy. Crazy would have challenged that shotgun. It's amazing how sane you got. And God, my little sister, she's second oldest in the family, but she's only this tall. And we had some boys in our front yard that wouldn't leave. And she said, leave. And she went and got my dad's shotgun. It was taller than she was. And she said, leave. And she pointed it at him. It was taller than she was. Did I mention it was taller than she was? Which means any mishandle, she's going to have to grab whatever she could. And that's what happened. Slipped. She grabbed whatever she could. Shot him in the ear. And growing up was fantastic. I was three. I was right there. I was three. I remember her shooting him. Because he wouldn't leave. He's on his bike. I ain't going nowhere. He went. Yeah. And it's not funny. It's not. And he's better. It just grazed him. But he never crossed that street again. Never, because they had to go and do all the ink stuff on her and all that stuff. Now, and again, I don't recommend this, but because he was doing what was right in his own eyes, she did what was right in her own eyes, and two wrongs don't make a right. In fact, it makes you left ear. It at any time. Anytime the king is missing, people will do what's right in their own eyes. Anytime Jesus is missing from us, right, we do what we want to do. You got to keep God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus has saved many people that do not allow him to be king and rule over their life and his words, so they interpret what feels good to be what is good. And so we have to do that. Bending and breaking godly boundaries is the first evidence that there's a snake influence in the life of that person. Right? Now, not that y'all ever did this, but, you know, if you're dating, whenever you're dating, before getting married, right? And we go, oh, well, we're about to be married anyway. Anytime that statement comes out, run. We about to be married anyway. That means we're going to try to do marriage stuff outside of marriage time. Right? And so we have to go back to what's right in God's eyes. I want, because God is the only one that can look at me and look at my mistakes and say, I still love you. So why don't I do what he wants me to do? Let me do what he wants me to do, because he's the only one that knows how to be here. Now, a dislocated arm is still attached to the body, right? But it's not functional. Do I have to say it? Y'all want me to say it? That we have a lot of dislocated Christians that are attached but not functioning. Right? Is it possible to have it on you but not have it in you and not have it working? And so part of that is that's my spot, and I have to take my spot. And so my call is to pray and believe God and to search God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and body, and to be there. And a life that is attached to salvation but doesn't function in God's word is dislocated from walking in God's will for their life. And again, part of that is don't be discouraged that you make mistakes. Be discouraged if you make your mistakes your habit.
That's time. Everybody's going to make a mistake. They are. Y'all tell me what that's like. I don't know what that's like, but y'all keep me posted. Let me know how that makes you feel. I don't know. I've just never been there. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I know, perfect timing, right? But to think soberly. Yeah, Pastor, we just heard your drunk thoughts. According as God had dealt to every man. Man, the Bible had a way of fixing your stuff. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Right? Now we understand that Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. So there's no excuse for you saying, I can't hear from God, because if he gave you faith, that means he already knew you could hear him. Right? You've been dealt the measure of faith. Well, I don't hear from God. Yes, you do. You hear from him. You may not listen to him, but you hear. Right? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things without seeing that's not been seen. And that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if I can go through Hebrews 11:1 and Hebrews 11:6 and understand that my faith is what prospers me, that means I can hear from God. Because then we go to John 10:4, that I know his voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not listen to. I know the voice of God. You know the voice of God. I never heard it. Read the Bible out loud and you hear it. Right? Just read it out loud. Well, I mean, I've never heard it audibly. Read it out loud. They got other people do it for you. Just tell them to do it. Read it out loud. But he wouldn't give you faith if he didn't think you could hear. He wouldn't do it. Right? You can hear. Now, honestly, there have been times we've struggled to hear from God. And the reason why, I believe, is that there are other voices working. Right? Or what God said, I didn't want to hear. Now, that's the one. Forgive that person. Is there anybody else working today up there? Customer service is off today there. Right? Go give whatever you got in your pocket. Give it to that person. It's almost lunchtime, Lord. So I cannot start doing things and only want to hear from God when it's comfortable for me. See, because if I practice not listening to God when it's uncomfortable, I'm going to be incapable of hearing God for the things that are comfortable. So I cannot put God, I didn't create him, he created me. The same boundary that God gave us to hear him and block out the voice of this world can also be done in reverse if we develop a habit of ignoring God. Even in some basic stuff, like people say, I don't believe God talked to you about. God will talk to you about anything. If you allow him to, he'll talk to you about any practice. Oh, Pastor Rita said, God, where do you want me to go today? I don't want to do that. Well, it ain't about being weird on that. It's about developing a habit of listening to God. Married men, you've developed a habit. At least hear them. Let's go on. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11. You ever done that, right? And now, married ladies, y'all do the same thing to us, because there have been times, and you know they ain't heard a word you said. At one point, when there's a lean in, when there's a direct lean in, like, I'm like, she ain't hearing me. She is not hearing me because I'm talking too much. And that's one thing that happened at our house. I can talk a lot. Like this one kid, you must be a great dad. It must be so fun to be at your house. I should call one of my kids. Let's see. They think, John, they think I'm fun. Like, you know how much they pay me this 45 minutes, kid? Of course I'm fun. dun da da, dun da da. That's bad. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. Everybody say beans. Man, I love refried beans. They don't like me, but I love some refried beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Okay? So what grounds were he standing in? Beans. They ain't worth a hill of beans. Man, if you won't fight for the little things, you'll be incapable of fighting for big things. I ain't fighting for that. That's too small. Don't be out of practice now. Don't be out of practice. When God is telling you to fight to pay attention, fight to do the base things, fight to go in prayer, fight to go in worship, fight to go and fight, because there's a storm coming, fight to go in there, and then fight to remain, you need to fight, put your fight up. Because if you won't, you won't be prepared and be able to fight when the big battle comes. Or what's your version of the big battle? Because they all small of God. He's already got the victory. He just wants you to practice winning. Practice winning. I get so mad when I tell little kids, put your hand up over your head like this. I need to get this jacket away. I've been caught. You get the point? Yeah. You want this jacket? You do? Yeah, you got it. Okay, you take it with you, all right? There's no need for me to wear this again. I almost tore something trying to lift my hand up. Never get, but isn't it good that I recognize it instead of having y'all look up there? He got that thing on again. Sneeze and we got denim laying all over the wall. No matter how small or meaningless, never let the devil win anything. Don't ever let him win. You know how you are when you don't want somebody to win an argument? You know who your arguers are. No, I know I'm wrong, but I'm going to show you how right I'm wrong. How we do anything is how we'll do everything. If we fight for little things like they're big things, we'll fight. We'll win big battles like they're little battles. I'm not trying to argue with my kids. I said it. You need to do what I said. You know, we ain't on negotiation. We ain't under contract. Not on the contract. You must protect your space. Okay? And that's not NASA. That's neither. Protect your space. Because if you don't, the devil will come in it and run over your house and take advantage of everything that you have. And if you don't, and y'all got those relatives that you say, oh man, my house is your house, but they come in too often. I mean, what's in the fridge? Not you. Get out of my refrigerator. But you said my house is yours. Not today. The house closed. Sit on this couch. Shut up and get you some water. Tap water at that, out the sink. Pastor Rita would never do something like that. I'm not so sure. Pastor Rita wouldn't do that. I mean, that's me. Amen? All right, bow your heads. CJ, you can get this jacket. Out with that thing. Father, we just pray. We thank you, Lord God, that that's my spot. I pray, Lord God, that we refuse to let anyone condemn us for our salvation, for our walk with you. And at the same time, Lord God, we're not going to let anyone push our boundaries. I have boundaries. I expect to do great things for God. And God, I know that my heart belongs to you. Father, have your way. Use me any way you want to. Show me, Lord God, I draw the line where you call me to be. I do it in my circle of prayer, my circle of worship, my circle of faithfulness, and my circle of hope, Lord Jesus. I refuse to let my boundaries be pushed out. I will stand. I refuse, Father God, to let my church be pushed outside of the boundaries of my prayer life, boundaries of my worship, boundaries of my faith, boundaries of my service, Lord God. I will not let that line get erased. I will not let it get loose in the name of Jesus. And I'll stand and I will believe that I know that my God wants to do something with me and in me. And I am going to let him. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We thank you for the godly protection. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.